Well, good morning. Guess what? We return to Romans today. I've been kind of chomping on the bit about that kind of thing. We suspended it for a while as we had some summer season things to go through, and then I was gone for a little while, that kind of thing. So we are returning to the book of Romans. Go ahead and open your Bibles to chapter 12. If you'll do that with me, open to Romans chapter 12. We'll be looking at one verse this morning, the first verse. We're going to dig in here and get into this. The Apostle Paul changes some things here as we get into Romans 12. We'll get into all that. The message I entitled it is therefore. We're going to dig into that idea of therefore, what that's there for, what therefore is there for, all that kind of stuff. But why God wrote it that way and why God uses grammar and how he uses this in a very impactful way. So we're going to kind of dig into that. So we're looking at Romans chapter 12. We're going to be looking at the first verse today. Go ahead and grab your outline. Good to have, follow along. Outline there, follow along, that kind of thing. We would all agree that we have studied and learned a lot about the doctrines of salvation from the book of Romans, from chapters 1 through 11. Now, what the Apostle Paul is doing here, he begins to teach the effect. I want you to think with me. I want you to hear this. Teach the effect or the impact or the application to those truths being believed or acted upon. That's kind of why my heart was when we went into Matthew 7 and looked upon Jesus' words that says, here's a wise man that he hears my words and he acts upon them. There's some sort of response. There's some sort of action in believing or in something that you do, because that's what the Apostle Paul moves to here in chapter 12. Look with me here at chapter 12, verse 1. We'll read that verse for today. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote, what God's word says. Look at it with me. Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It's a tremendous amount there in verse 1 and 2, and we're not going to get into it all today, but we're going to focus on the therefore. There's a transition here in language and what he's talking about. For today, we're going to focus in on this word, Greek language. It's in your outline here if you look at it with me. Says, therefore, is a marker, the Greek term, of an internal relationship of cause and effect that one follows from the other. That's true. In the New Testament, God uses that 321 times. I think it's powerful. I think it's important. God has used this term or one like it, like when you get so then, or for this reason, or therefore, that kind of thing. God writes this. This is God's word. This is not man's word. This is God's. He uses these terms. He uses this language for a purpose and a reason. We're to understand it. We're to dig into God's word, understand what God is saying, what he means, how it applies to our life, right? You guys agree? Are you with me this morning? Yes, and so this is what we're doing. In the New Testament, God does this. He does it in the Old. This cause and effect that one follows after another is big. It's very big, and I want you to understand this idea. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 5:20 for a moment. Let's just kind of grab the idea how big this is and help us get us some understanding. I'll spend a little time on that. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:20 with me. And so we can just kind of get a little better understanding of this term, therefore, and God's idea and what God is doing here in this principle. Are you there with me? 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says this, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. Now there you go. There's something that follows something. There's a cause and effect. Here's the effect. We are ambassadors for Christ. What's the cause? Look back at verse 17 and following. It says this, if anyone was in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he was committing to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, there's the cause. Here's the effect. Therefore, this is what God did. Therefore, this is what God has done. You're a new creation because God, he's the one doing all these things. The old is gone. The new has come. He's reconciling the world to himself. He's given you the ministry and the word of reconciliation. Therefore, here's the effect. We are ambassadors for Christ. You see the impact? See the power of God in his word and what he's talking about? This is how he wants us to understand this. We're learning the word of God and understanding the doctrines of God and the truths that we've been learning. There's an therefore here that's going to impact us. So we want to capture this principle. Because what God has done, therefore you are this. Cause and effect. This is throughout of God's word. It's an important aspect of it. I want to illustrate it to you a little bit more, and I want the kids the boys and girls to kind of help me with this. Will you guys help me? I don't know. Are you guys going to help me? Kids, you guys going to help me? I need some answers from you, okay? Okay, I need some answers from you. And the parents might help them that, but will you guys help me? I need some help. You pull out your kid zone. Okay, pull out your kid zone. I know some of you have already started the puzzle. Some of the adults have already started the puzzle. Right? Pull out the kid zone, but I want you guys to help me. We need to get this. This is God's word. It's all over the place, going to impact your life, going to teach you some things about God's word on what God is wanting to convey. It's a powerful way to communicate, and God does it this way. So get out your sermon notes from your kid zone, and I want to read some to you, and I want you to help me answer, okay? Will you guys do that? You guys give me some answers? You guys will give me some answers. I know this crew over here, they'll probably give me some. I know some of you will give me answers. Here's the illustration. This morning, Mom pulled out from the freezer some hamburger to thaw for dinner. At 5 p.m., she made a meatloaf and cooked it. Mom cut up a salad, cooked some vegetables, sliced watermelon, and made lemonade to drink. Dinner is ready. Therefore, you
ate it.
Ate it. Okay, all right. Okay, you got that one, right? Right? All right, so think with me a little bit more, but therefore you, okay, you ate it. What else you do? Sit down to pray. Come on, capture this, you guys. The word of God, this is how God is. Yes, Charlie is good. Therefore, you ate it. You first had to kind of like come to the table, right? Right? You just didn't just like grab it and run outside, did you? So you came to think with me. Therefore, you, okay, so you sit down and pray and you eat it. What else do you do, guys? Therefore, you, come on, kids. Say again. Ask for chicken nuggets. Okay. All right. I like that. Let me help you with that. Therefore, we are grateful for what Mom made and we eat it all down and that kind of thing, right? Therefore, you are have a heart of gratitude for that Mom has made a meal. Maybe it's not even your favorite, but you eat it, right? Therefore, you, come on, kids, what else you do? Therefore, clean up the dishes. You hear that? That sounds like the word of God, doesn't it? Therefore, cause and effect. Mom's done all this. Therefore, we wash up before we come to dinner. Maybe we come and we set the table before dinner, right? Therefore, maybe we give Mom a hug and thank Mom for making dinner, right? Are you capturing cause and effect? See, God wrote the word of God in there after this. Therefore, here's the application. He kind of catches it all. He doesn't. And I'm the same way. The first one I wrote down was, sit down and eat, Charlie. That's what I wrote. Just eat the dinner. But then when you start thinking about it, God would communicate to us, therefore, let's have a heart of gratitude. Let's thank Mom. Let's interact while we're in the meal. Let's help clean up. Here's another one. All right, kids, you ready to help me with the second one? You guys ready? Okay, today Dad cleaned the truck. Filled it with gas, got out all the camping and fishing gear, set it out. Mom filled the ice chest with all the food and drinks needed for a 3-day trip to Balch Park. Therefore, you there you go. You're thinking, therefore, you pack your bags, you get your clothes, you get your tennis shoes, you get your own flask. You kind of help, right? You kind of get yourself prepared for where you're going. What else? Therefore, you got to get in the car, right? Or the truck, right? You got to get in the car. All right. Therefore, you what else, guys? All right, right? We're going to fishing, right? Therefore, all right, maybe you get your favorite hat. Maybe you help Dad load the truck. Maybe you tell Mom thanks for making the food. Maybe you, what other kind of things would you do? Therefore, you see what I'm talking about? This is the word of God. This is why God uses this powerful way to communicate. He wants us thinking in that manner. See, God did all of this. Romans 1, chapter 1 all the way through 11, this is what God did. He packed the bags, man. He got the fishing trips ready. I mean, all of the kind of things we're looking at here. This is what he's talking about. If you look at me, it's with Romans 12, 1 again. Look out there with me. Listen to what he said. Look what he says. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Okay, pretty simple. Here, God is saying from what we have learned in Romans, here's what follows from it. From what God has done and is doing in the doctrine of salvation. Here is the effect. Therefore, do this, live this way, see life this way. We're going to dig into that next week. But when we capture all the truths that we saw in Romans chapter 1 through 11, when we grab them and understand them and believe them, the impact of the therefore becomes very, very strong. very motivational. Therefore, you respond this way. It's a very powerful way to communicate God does it. Look at verse 1 again. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, by the mercies of God, why is that there? It's saying, therefore, in view of the mercies of God. The word by there in the original language in Greek is the ground of motive to respond. That's what he's talking about. In the language, that's what it's communicating. So it's in view of God's mercy, chapter 1 through 11 is the mercy of God. In view of that, therefore respond. As you look upon, Brian even encouraged us today to think upon what God has done and to remind ourselves of what God has done, to dwell upon the truths that we know of. That's what we're doing out. We're going to look at that. We're going to review that, chapters 1 through 11. Now, I can only do so much of that, but this is the idea. In view of God's mercy of not giving you what you deserve, what do we deserve? What does every human being on the planet deserve? Come on, you guys. Every single one. There are no good people. What do they deserve? In view of that, God didn't give you what you deserve. In view of God didn't give you what you deserve, and he gave you what? Grace. He gave you grace, what you could not earn. In view of the truths of Romans 1 through 11 and the doctrines that are there, where God didn't give any human being, us that are believers in Christ, didn't give us what we deserve, but gave us grace instead. Therefore, respond to what follows. Look at the front of your bulletin. Look at the front of your bulletin. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? The first one, benefit, you ought to say, he gave me mercy. I didn't get what I deserve. Because if I got what I deserve hell. Every human does. Nobody's good. Nobody's righteous. We're going to get into all that, right? Wow, what's my response to that? For what God rendered to me? Romans chapter 12 through 15 would be a good response. Maybe render your life, the first verse. Here, I'll present my life to you. Right? 2 Corinthians 4:1 says this. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 4:1 says. Don't turn there. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. You know what the ministry that we have? I have as a mercy God gave me that I didn't give me what I deserve. What he gave me is I can live a Christ-like life, and God is going to sanctify me. He's going to conform me to the image of Christ. That's a mercy. That's from the grace of God, a mercy that I shouldn't get. 1 Peter 2:9. Listen to what 1 Peter 2:9 says in verse 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In view of the mercy of God, what's the response? Proclaim the excellencies of God. Listen to Titus 3. I'm just kind of giving us a review here so we see the impact here. Titus 3, chapter 3, verse 4 through 8. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds, not about our own righteousness or what we could have done. It says, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. We're saved according to his mercy. He didn't give us what we deserve. And here's what we didn't deserve, but that he gave us. By the washing and regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And he says, this is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. Are you catching the cause and effect? In view of the mercy of God, where we didn't receive what we deserve, by the grace of God, we were given what we could not earn. The cause, the effect is a life that presents itself to God, a life that engages in good deeds, a life that's all through the Scripture. It's a cause and effect. It's a therefore. We're not doing something to get God to do. We're responding to what God has done. By the life and offering our life. And that we want to see that impact. We want to see the therefore. What's it point back to? It's pointing back to Romans chapter 1 through 11. Are you there with me? Back to Romans. I got to turn my Bible back to Romans 12. So the Apostle Paul is referring to the theology that he taught us in Romans chapter 1 through 11 by using the therefore. See why it's so important to understand doctrine? See why it's so important to understand the truth of God's word and theology? In your outline, I put in there the theology of Romans chapter 1 through 11. You know how important it is? It carries the whole impact when God says, therefore, here's what I want you to do. You're going to embrace it? Is it the ground of motive for you? Is it the ground of motive, what I've done in this world, what I did in your salvation, what I did in loving you, what I did in forgiving you, what I did not give you what you deserve, that God did all this and sent his son, the ground of motive, all of this, is this the ground that you're going to respond to in your life on how you live your life according to God's word? What I've already done? That's why theology is so important. Or is your theology or understanding that what you're going to, your ground of motive is that you're going to do so God will do? This is how God wants to teach us the truth of God's word. And how the ground of motive of our life is what God has done. And the first and foremost thing is I've received mercy. Nobody deserves heaven. Nobody. Not my grandkids, not my kids, not my wife, not me, not nobody. It's a mercy that anybody gets reconciled back to God. It's theology. That's why theology is so important. It's why the truth of God's word is important. It's why for us to, because it's the thing that motivates our heart to respond. So let's review. And I'll do it quickly. I won't cover it all. But let's review what God has done and is doing that is a mercy toward you and me to capture the impact of therefore in our response. I'm going to ask you to follow along. Will you guys follow along with me? We're going to bounce around in Romans here a little bit, capture this impact. Bounce around, look at the theology of Romans. Like I said, I can't cover it all. It took me 2 years to preach through it, so I'm going to take 20 minutes here to review it, you know, that kind of thing. But turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We're going to begin there. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. This is where we're going to start. And it's good to have your outline with you right there because it kind of just helps you see where we're going. As we walk along this, the righteousness of God is being revealed. That's what it is. Verse 16 and 17. Let me read it to you. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is being revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Now, in salvation, in the gospel, the righteousness of man isn't being revealed. It's being acknowledged. None of us have any. But the righteousness of God is being revealed in the gospel, in your salvation, in the book of Romans. That's what it says in your outline. Look what it says. God's activity of making right, saving, vindicating, satisfying his justice, and the status of those who are made right, that is being revealed, brought to light in the book of Romans, just like we saw in 2 Corinthians 5. He's bringing that to light. The Apostle Paul couldn't get to Rome, and so he wrote everything he wanted to teach him about the gospel and God's revelation of himself and what he's revealing about God's righteousness. These theologies and truths of Romans is about God's righteousness being revealed, not about ours. Think about it. Here's his righteousness being revealed. About his love, his mercy, his grace, his holiness, his goodness, his forgiveness, his power and wisdom. It's not about ours. How much righteousness do you have apart from Christ? How much? How could it be revealing in the scripture about how that you have righteousness? It's not about ours being revealed. It's about him. It's the whole book. It's the theology that's there. It's talking about his love, his mercy, his grace, his holiness, his goodness, his forgiveness, his power, his wisdom. So first, Paul shows us that righteousness is needed. That's what we look at. Look at verse 18, 118 in your text. It's all the way through 320, but he tells us about that righteousness is needed. The humanity has none. And we saw all this. He starts with that God's wrath is real. Look at it with me, 18 through 23. God's wrath is a reality for humanity. He says this, "For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, the men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Did you see that? We know that God's wrath is real. We know that his wrath is against all sinners. For we're all sinners and no one is righteous. We looked at all of that, right? Is God's wrath real? It's true, right? It's being revealed from heaven, right? It's against everybody is without excuse because no one is righteous. Look at chapter 3, verse 9 through 12. All are sinners. No one is right before God. Nobody was born right before God. Nobody does a work that gets you right before God. Everybody is not right before God. We're not justified. We're unrighteous. All of that. God made that clear in chapter 3, verse 9 through 12. Listen to what we learned there. He says, what then? Are we better than they? He's talking about Jews and Gentiles. Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jew and Greeks are all under sin. Now that takes in all humanity. We're all under sin. Nobody's righteous enough, nobody's good enough, doesn't keep the word enough. Listen to what he says. This is the theology of what he's talking about. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God, and all have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There's not even one. So righteousness is needed in humanity, and they can't come up with their own. They can't do some kind of work to come up with their own. And God is going to, his wrath is going to come against all unrighteousness. And we're all unrighteous. So God is just in declaring all humanity guilty as charged. That's the theology of Romans. But God didn't want to sit there, right? He didn't want to keep it there. He wanted to do something about it. And that's what we were learning about it, because this is about the righteousness of God being revealed. All right, our righteousness, there it is. It's revealed. No humanity has any. Nobody's good enough for God to accept, to love, to care for, to any of that. God is the one that chooses to do that, but they don't earn it because his wrath is coming against all unrighteousness. We're all under sin, right? And no one is justified before God. Look at chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. You have to kind of fix that in your outline. I got 9 through 12. It's 19 and 20. Justified, to be made right before God, declared innocent, declared not guilty, relieved of all charges. That's justification. He says this in 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed. And all the world may be accountable to God, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for the law comes to knowledge of sin. Nobody's going to be justified before God by trying to live rightly, by trying to keep the word of God, by trying to live the law. We learned all of that. So God's wrath is real. All are sinners. No one's right before God. No one will be justified before God. So God is just in declaring all people guilty as charged. And he said that in Romans 9, 22 and 23. And he said, the only ones that find the righteousness of Christ are the ones that he has mercy on. See, this is what God is doing. He's revealing his righteousness. And we learned all of that. And we dug into all of that in learning that. So we understand where's the righteousness needed, and I can't come up with my own. So in revealing the righteousness of God, we see that humanity needs righteousness, and it has none. So then as we moved along, look at your outline, turn it over. And it's kind of hard to review all of this because my mind is just pulling all of these things that we taught when we were going through all of that. You know, and I just want, shoot, we'll be here till 3:30 if I just start grabbing all those kind of things. Because so just to keep it simple, because we want to capture the therefore, the mercies of God, this is all a mercy of God. That his wrath is being revealed, that all his wrath is going to come against all unrighteousness, but he's revealing his righteousness, his activity of saving and vindicating, and that there all humanity needed a righteousness and it has none. And then so if we look at next, righteousness imputed. And this is what God does next. He imputes or credits the righteousness of Christ to us. Again, showing mercy. Look at chapter 3, verse 20 through 25. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. Catch this night. The rightness of God, the mercy, the love, the goodness of God has been manifested in Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about, being witnessed by the law of the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, for there's no distinction. For all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption that is found in Jesus Christ. Did you hear what he had to say? God's gift of righteousness. God credited us the righteousness of Christ as a gift, right? To give the gift of grace, forgiveness, redemption, justification, declared not guilty, credited with the righteousness of Christ is a gift. It's a gift to give us what we could not earn. God had to not give us what we deserve. That's the mercy. Do you know for God to give you the gift of crediting the righteousness of Christ to you, he had to give you mercy? Because he didn't give you what you deserve. He gave you what Christ bought for you. He gave you what Christ did for you. But he still has to give you mercy, because you still deserve hell. You still deserve, because you're unrighteous. And so in Christ, he credits you with the righteousness of Christ and gives you mercy and doesn't give you what you deserve. Look at 25 through 27 again. Look at what he says next. Through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, this was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in forbearance of God, he passed over sins previously committed for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. So where's the boasting? Look at me for a moment. God is the just and the justifier. Your faith didn't justify you. Your faith is a response to what God did in you. Let's get theology correct, humanity. Let's get it right down into our heart and into our mind. God didn't respond to your faith. You responded to God by believing. That's the truth of God's word. That made him just and made him the justifier. Because what's on display is God's righteousness, not yours. And for you to believe without God piercing your heart with the truth, for you to trust and believe in God with a righteousness of your own, to trust in the Lord, makes you the justifier and him unjust to hold you guilty for your sin. That's the truth of theology. That is so impactful when the Word of God says, therefore, do these things. Because God rescued you, God saved you, God redeemed you, God pierced your heart with the truth. Your response was to act in the faith that God brought as he pierced your heart. That's so important, you guys. Because that's what the theology of Romans teaches. And the impact of therefore, in view of the mercies of God, I'm going to put my life up on the altar, on the horns, take it and drive the horns through it and leave my life alone and give it to God, is an understanding of that. I wouldn't have it without him. But when I would have it because of me, it's a lot harder to be motivated to do that. Are you guys with me? I'm just trying to, we got to capture this, because this is important for us to understand and know. For justification to be made right before God, to be credited with Christ's righteousness, to be declared not guilty, is by divine power, not human effort. Look what he said in chapter 4, verse 1 through 5 about Abraham. What then shall we say, that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. But what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just reading that, you know that faith can't be a work, can it? Because then it would be what's due you. So faith isn't a work. It's a response. It's a response to what God has done. Abraham responded in faith. Look at Romans 2:4. We dug into all of this. Listen to Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches and the kindness and the tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Who led you to repentance? What if he didn't lead you to repentance? Do you repent? Are you unrighteous? Is the wrath of God being revealed against all unrighteousness? So then when he leads you to repentance and you repent and you believe and you trust, he gives you mercy. He gives you not what you deserve. He gives you grace, the righteousness of Christ credited to you, imputed on your behalf. It's revealing the righteousness of God in the gospel, in your believing, in your walk with the Lord. We have none. That's the theology. That's so when you get to when he says, therefore, in view of God's mercy in your life, here's the way we're going to live our life. You see the impact, you guys? Is it coming across as much as it is in my heart and mind? Is it coming across on that? That's why the truth of God's word is so important, and the things that we've been going through here? Because this is how it motivates our life. To move along here a little bit. It's a gift of grace. And then in chapter 5, we have justification's life. Let me just read it to you. I'm not going to read the verses. But here's the life that you now have being justified. Here is your permanent possession that you have from God. And it's in chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. You have peace with God. You stand in grace. You have hope of glory. You have certain glory. You have a permanent possession of the divine love of God. That love is your possession. You have certainty of salvation. And you're saved from the wrath of God, saved by the life of Christ. That's God's righteousness revealed in chapter 5. But he didn't stop there. He didn't just say, well, now you got this justification life. In chapter 6 through 8, he says, now I've imparted you with the righteousness. Let's look at this real quickly. Not only are you credited with the righteousness of God, I give you a new life, and the righteousness is imparted. In your new life in Christ, you have been given the ability to follow God and live righteously. Look at chapter 6 with me. You have died to sin, chapter 6, verse 2. How shall he who died to sin still live in it? Verse 6 and 7, knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that I would no longer be a slave to sin, for he who has died is free from sin. That's my new life in Christ. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I used to be, but I'm not anymore. That's the new life. I'm alive to God, he says in 6:11. Listen to what he says there. Even consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 22 says, but now having been freed from sin and a slave to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and eternal life. So I've got this new life that's no longer enslaved to sin, that has a new nature, a new way, a new thing about it, that I can not follow sin and I can follow God. Chapter 7, verse 4, he says this, therefore, my brethren, you were also made to die to the law through the body of Christ so that you might be joined to another. Now my life is in union with Christ. And in chapter 8, he taught us that we have this life by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have the life in the Spirit. 8:2, he says this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. In verse 11, he says, but by the Spirit of him, chapter 8, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, dwells in you. He who raised Christ from Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through a Spirit who dwells in you. And there's a lot that I could cover here. Like I said, I can't. But listen to this. By the power of the Holy Spirit and this imparted righteousness now you have in this new life, the Holy Spirit indwelling you by his power, his work, of regeneration, being born again, being given new life as a new creature. He frees us from sin and death, enables us to fill God's word and live God's way, changes our nature, gives us a new nature that wants to live rightly, and the Holy Spirit empowers us for victory, confirms our adoptions as sons and daughters, guarantees our glory, aids in our prayers, and completes the purpose and progress of salvation by God in our lives, Romans 8:28-29. I'm just touching lightly of all the things we've learned. He says, in view of this, I think it's important that we understand it. I can't cover it all, but in view of everything that God has taught us, then we learn in chapter 9, 10, and 11, he didn't even stop there. Fourthly, we learned about God's sovereignty. We learned about God's Israel rejecting God's righteousness. We saw in chapter 9, Israel's unbelief is consistent with God's plan for all of Israel's, not Israel. It's about God's chosen people. In chapter 10, we learned that Israel's failure was about their willful ignorance. They chose to ignore God's provision of salvation. And we saw in chapter 11 that God is not through with the Jewish people now. For by his sovereign hand, he has kept a remnant for himself, and then one day will fulfill his promises to Israel. Look at chapter 11, verse 11 with me. Look at chapter 11, verse 11. Here's just an important thing as we talked about. Israel's failure brings our salvation. Their rejection of the Lord, God's sovereign hand, they reject the Messiah, reject the Lord. Their rejection brings our salvation. Look what it said in 11:1 or 11:11. I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Look at me for a moment. In the sovereign hand of God, Israel, God's chosen people that are doing all the works with God and all that kind of stuff, missing the gospel, missing Christ, rejection, willfully rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, saved you. And if God didn't do that, not one Gentile would be in this room. We just would be a Jewish synagogue. Because God chose. Because he decided. Not because we're better, we're good, we're pretty, we're nice, and all that. God chose. He didn't have to do that. It wasn't even in the Bible he was going to do that until it happened. He chose. Sovereign hand of God. Think about that for a moment. 2,000 years ago, no Gentiles saved. The Jews rejected the Lord. God's divine plan was for them to reject the Messiah so you could have salvation. You capture that with me. He didn't have to. He didn't have to have America. He didn't have to do any of this. This is God's hand, his righteousness. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. What if there was no United States of America? What would your life be? God decided that. Humanity didn't decide that. What if no Gentiles were saved? How many Jews are in the room? You have to capture the truth of God's word and what he's saying. Look at chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 as we close here. Look what God says as we've been learning all this. Chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. From the standpoint of the gospel, the Jewish people, Israel, they stumbled over it. They killed the Messiah, right? They were enemies for your sake. They were enemies of God's Messiah for whose sake? Whose? You think God's sovereign hand is way bigger than what we know? The sovereignty of God? Here's the Apostle Paul. From the standpoint of the gospel, they were enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. That's incredible. One day, Israel's restoration to all of its promises will happen, and it's a mercy. Because his gifts and his calling are irrevocable, and his choice. Verse 30, for just as you once were disobedient to God, I rejected the Lord. I was Romans 1, 18 through 30. So were we all, until God pierced our heart with the truth. For just as once... As you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of this, their disobedience. And their disobedience, God chose to show us mercy, to not give us what we deserve. Verse 31, so these also now have been disobedient, that because of mercy shown to you, they also may be shown mercy. It's all a mercy. And then the Apostle Paul writes in chapter 12, verse 1, in view of the mercies of God, we're to therefore do these things. In view of the mercy of God, not to give you what you deserve and gift you with what you cannot earn by grace, of all that theology of salvation in Romans. Therefore, because of the mercy in view, what's your response? What's your response? Just like the illustration with the kids. Mom made the dinner. She pulled it all out. She got it all ready. Here it is. Here's the table. It's ready. What's your response? Sometimes our response in thinking about God is, all right, since he did it all, you know, and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to come to the table. I'm going to eat. And it's going to be like this. I'm going to eat real fast. I'm not going to interact. Because we thought about that, right, Charlie? Because meatloaf, I like it, you know. So vegetables, let's get this done. Let's get it in here, right? But then when we dwell upon God and dwell upon all that God did, then we think in our heart of mind, some things get brought up about a heart of gratitude and about being thankful for what it is and then helping prepare to be a part, to joining in the conversation, to help load the truck, to really just embrace the joy that is given us and be the... What's your response? That's the important thing as we look here. That's what we're going to get into. Guess what? It's four chapters, right? I mean, that's what God, using his word, how he, the importance of his communication, how he wants the impact of what he says, not just the next verse, but when he says, here's your response. Let me give you something to chew on for a second. In the view of the mercies of God, then every person is to be subject to the governing authorities. That's our response. Well, I don't like that one. Right? How about this one? Now accept those who are weak in faith, but they're not for purpose for judgment and their opinions. How about this one that he talks about over here? He says right here, now we ought to be strong, ought to bear the weakness of those who are without strength. You see, it impacts our whole entire life and our whole entire purpose and focus of what all this is about. Because what we've already gotten is the mercy of God and grace of God. We've already gotten from God. Now we're in response, living what God has for us to live for his glory and for his work. Because he's the one giving mercy and grace. So what's your response? That's what I want you to contemplate for a little bit. As we get into next week, we'll get into this, the depth of this, of what Romans has. This is the ground of motivation. Because of what God did and is doing, mercy and grace. Therefore, and let me just read our text. Present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I get to do that. Praise God, what a wonderful thing to be able to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and for just your help, Lord, by your Spirit, to help us just through all of that theology and all of those verses and all of that, Lord, but just to really help us just capture, Lord, as we look into the truth of your word, that each and every one of our lives is a mercy, a true mercy, that you chose, Lord, that you, through Christ and what you did and what you're doing in this world to reconcile us to you, to reconcile the world back to yourself through Christ. For the old things to be gone, for the new to come, this is all by the power of God, the work of God. And you gave us the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation, this general idea of all of Romans there, and it's a mercy. You will act and be just to act with your wrath. You will be righteous to act in your wrath. But you're revealing your righteousness of love and mercy and grace and wisdom and power through the gospel, through the truth of Christ. You're revealing it all. And chose to give us mercy and act upon in your grace to give us what we could not earn, and salvation became, faith became our response. Let that hit us today, Lord. Each and every day, that your word have its way in our heart and mind. Let it pierce the very depth of us, reveal to the marrow, the joint and marrow and all of that, Lord, reveal to where we're not believing in you in some area or trusting in you or depending upon ourselves, whatever it might be, Lord, change us for your glory. Move us to be a testimony to the transforming work of salvation. For that's our desire, Lord. That's what we want. We want you to be honored and glorified by our lives, and this be your church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed for today.